This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Fire the cannons, let's hear them.
Live from the Rich Eisen Studios in
New York City.
Fly home safely. Atlanta wins.
Earlier on the show, host of ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Panthers defensive end Derek Brown. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Tom Pelissero, my colleague from NFL Network, the NFL Media Group, is going to join us in about 20 minutes' time with all the latest on what's going on around the National Football League, who might be in, who might be out. Obviously, coaches' hot seats are of conversation. Is Phillip Rivers going to start on Sunday? Those are all questions I will be asking none other than Tom Pelissero. And then in hour number three on the Rich Eisen Show, Derek Brown of the Carolina Panthers is going to be joining us. Doors wide open for the Panthers to take the NFC South now that the Falcons did them a massive favor by handing the Buccaneers another dreadful home loss in division. A second time in 5 days for the Buccaneers, who are now a half game out of first place behind the Carolina Panthers. Derek Brown's going to join us in hour number three. I've got my top five other matchups for the rest of week 15 to get to as well. Our usual Friday fun. We already had Stephen A. Smith on the program. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is how you can catch up on anything that you may have missed. There's also our podcast all 3 hours every day. There's also our Disney Plus page. As soon as our show is over, you can tap on the screen and get all 3 hours whenever you want. We're on the ESPN app as well. We say hello, as always, to our ESPN radio, presented by Progressive Insurance audience. Good to see you, Christopher Brockman.
Hey, Rich.
TJ Jefferson is here.
What's up, world?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is here. Two or more hours of our four-day stay here in New York City. I'm already lamenting leaving, and then I realize how cold it is outside and how nice it is in Los Angeles. Christopher, it's your usual Friday fun. You want to get to it right
off the top? Before we get to it real quick, though, sure. Did you see the Madden account just posted this? So they put Phillip Rivers back in the game. He is now in Madden right now. You can play as 44-year-old Phillip Rivers. Any guess what his rating is? You guys want to just throw something out there?
How about this? I will say it's double his age, 88.
I was going to say 85.
Good one. No, 70.
Oh, my.
But that is higher than Shedeur Sanders, Russell Wilson, and Anthony Richardson.
If you're Shedeur Sanders, you got to be like, come on, man.
With disrespect.
That would be something I would take into the game against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Come on, man.
Yeah.
He's a boy of 5 years in his Madden rating. 70?
70 is also his football age.
It seems
you know what I mean? Like 44 in real years is like 70 in
football. It's like a whole dog year type thing.
It's like
where you age.
Yeah, seriously.
NFL quarterback years. Yeah.
Here we go. And this as well. His throwing power is an 83. Throwing accuracy on short passes, 86. 88 on play action. 59 speed.
59 speed.
For Phillip Rivers. 57 agility.
I get it.
49 juke move.
Who decides this sort of stuff? I would love it. Like, they have to have a meeting. Is it on Zooms? Is it on Teams? Like, what are they? Or do they do it in person?
I don't know.
Just sitting around. They have to be like, they got to order in food. Maybe have a nice drink, and that's how they decide, hey, Phillip Rivers is back. By the way, did you also hear while we're on the subject, did you hear that apparently he called up Daniel Jones to ask if it's okay to get 17?
Okay, well, that's
classy. And Daniel Jones said, go for it.
That's classy.
Yeah.
I like that.
I mean, Jake didn't ask me about the Grand Maester title that you,
yeah, you just
I
gave
took
it.
Took it.
Yeah, but I just it. Took it.
You yeah, I'm saying that. I didn't get asked, but that's cool.
You know, but you don't do that anymore for us.
I sometimes do.
You do up. Because you do it as a hobby. You're like Bo Jackson playing baseball.
It's a hobby.
You know what I mean?
I put a lot of my heart and soul. Tell him, Del Tufo.
Yeah.
Midnight.
He does.
I'd be up.
Exactly. He was up all night doing that.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
Real.
It's cool.
He texts me. He's like, look at
I'm in a better spot right now. So.
How did you just equate yourself to Phillip Rivers? I don't understand that. The Philip Rivers asking Daniel Jones for his uniform number.
It just popped into my head. Okay. I didn't have time to think about it.
Normally it's me who makes it all about myself on this program.
I mean,
second only to Mike Del Tufo.
I don't know. I may be first.
Rich, you learn from the master.
I hold my pettiness in most of the time.
That's amazing. So let's have a meeting. It's at 2 o'clock, everybody. Yeah. We gotta figure out what Philip Rivers is.
Like, what do you want to give him like a 90 in speed?
You know, there was some TJ Buss floating around that room too, probably.
TJ Buss.
It's a Friday. It's time for What's More Likely. Hit it, please.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
And again, that drop is from Mike Tomlin being asked about the USC job. If anybody's out there thinking Mike T for the Michigan Wolverines. Nonstop, I'm getting people hitting
what
me up
if,
about
though,
this.
Rich?
Oh, stop it. The whole thing is just...
What
it's,
if, though?
It's just not even... Whatever.
Not getting like.
I'll just say it's not likely.
Yeah, yesterday you were like you couldn't wrap your head around. It's like
he would have to leave the job now.
Yeah. It's a hard thing for you.
His entire 19-year tenure,
they're in first place.
Hall of Fame tenure of the Steelers comes to end now because he leaves the first place Steelers with T.J. Watt with a lung injury to go back to campus.
But you wouldn't hate it.
Stop it. What else?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great to see you. Great to see you,
Mikey.
Welcome.
How you doing?
What's happening,
Chris? New York's been great, bro.
Happy day. Who's more likely to win the NFC South, the Bucs or the Panthers?
Ooh.
Got to start there, obviously, with last night.
I'll go with Carolina right now. I mean, you're putting me to the test here,
feet to
the fire, if you will.
Why not?
I'll go with the team that's playing better football in the last month plus. That's what I'll go with. Obviously, Baker is more battle-tested in the history of the of their careers. He's won playoff games. Plural. And they have Mike Evans and they have Bucky Irving and they've got Chris Godwin and they have the pieces. They've got Vita Vea. They've got all these pieces. But it has not been working. So if I had to choose the Carolina Panthers, they have a game in New Orleans. It will be a tough one to win. They win that. They come home and beat the Bucks. They'll be one up with two to go or two up with two to go if they do that. So. That's very likely, and I'll go with that right now, which is kind of crazy, because I've been on that pirate ship firing the cannons about they're going to come back healthy and look out. Arian said that the other day.
Yep.
I mean, and last night up 14 in the fourth quarter at home.
Got to finish that.
Correct.
Yeah. Got to finish that
at home.
Hey, we heard what Joe Burrow had to say earlier in the week.
Yes, sir.
Kind of got me thinking.
If I want to keep doing this, is the way he started a
kind of got
sentence.
Me wondering who's more likely to be the starting quarterback for their current team next year, Matthew Stafford or Joe Burrow? Stafford, you know, MVP and the Super
funny,
Bowl
huh?
and retired.
I know what you're trying to do on a spot here. I will then go Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Ooh. That Stafford, but it's not because Stafford doesn't want to play anymore. It's just like he makes a decision that this season ended so great.
Right.
Right off.
You know, I'm what better way for me to ride off into the sunset with my beautiful family in, you know, actually watching the sunset.
Exactly.
With a ring for
within
your
a ring, with a ring, his ring. Second ring and an MVP trophy.
Yeah.
And then Joe Burrow is not going to go anywhere. No, he's not traded. It's Joe Burrow traded the Rams.
The Rams.
Okay.
Bring him on.
Right. The Rams might need a coach.
Four number ones.
For a quarterback, rather.
Guys, massive game in Foxborough.
That would be insane, by the way.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. Yeah. Like
Bengals fans are calling me crazy, but four number ones for Joe Burrow?
Who says no?
Who doesn't want to be in Cincinnati? I'm just saying. I don't know. Is it more likely Drake May wins regular season MVP or Josh Allen wins the Super Bowl MVP this year?
Ooh. That's a good one.
Boy, you're on something here in New York City.
It's cold. I think it's affecting my brain.
Okay.
It's cold.
I'll say Drake May wins the regular season.
Drake May?
That's more likely.
So you're saying the Bills won't go to the Super Bowl?
I think you have just sussed that one out.
Uh-oh. No, Hoskins is sitting behind you, right?
I'm aware of that, but he also is a professional, and he knows that I'm being a professional, and what is more likely is that Drake May, who is four games away from potentially winning that award, or Josh Allen, who is seven games away from winning that award. You know?
Oh, you just went straight math.
You know, we don't do math here. What do you doing?
I mean, Rich,
that's not our strong suit.
We're in New York. It's cold.
Verbal, not mad.
Could even be eight games if you think about it for Josh Allen.
Probably will be eight games.
So why wouldn't I go with somebody who is already in position with four games to go and very winnable games for them at that over somebody that would have to go on a much more strenuous run?
You don't have to make sense with this. You know that, right?
That's what I do is I make sense of things. I'm DJ. Sensible.
DJ. I mean, I just watched you unspool that. Yeah. And I was like,
sensei.
Just
call
point.
Me the show's sensei.
All right, Rich, let's hit on your higher register here. And I want to combine it because it's going to be very cold in Chicago. More likely to be the larger number. Combined Shador and Caleb Williams total touchdowns.
Or degrees.
Or
degrees.
The feels like temperature at kickoff.
But the feels like temperature at kickoff is going to be negative integers.
It could be.
Let's say it's negative integers.
We're in the 12.
Single digits.
See, you went feels like. You could have gone.
The actual temperature is going to be like 10 to 12. Well, and I was thinking the feels like is probably maybe 4, something like that, 3, 4.
How can you tell the difference between 4 and 10, though?
Great point. Love where your head's at. Cold is cold.
I'll go with the higher number feels like 10. Maybe a little bit of a little heat wave and get it up to 6 or 7 at kickoff.
I hope this is a shootout.
I'm seeing six combined touchdowns between.
That could be fun.
That would be amazing.
That'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be great.
Shador in Chicago, Illinois, with the Cleveland Browns. Let's go. What else?
I think that could be pretty fun.
We've
been talking about it all week. Let's get right to it. More likely to be the higher total. Snaps for Philip Rivers on Sunday or Colts points scored.
Oh, I'll go snaps for Philip Rivers Sunday. If he's the starter, he's going to get 60, 70 snaps.
Yeah. I know, but Riley Leonard has taken full participation in practice the last couple of days, so I don't know. Maybe he starts the game.
Maybe something happened.
Interesting. So you're thinking he doesn't play at all would be the way that
plays the second half only, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, from all reports.
I think maybe we're ramping Philly up to start next week.
Man, I wish Pelissero was on before. Can I put a pin in this and answer it after Pelissero comes on?
Maybe you could ask Tom this exact question.
We're not going to hold your answer against you, though.
What's more likely?
More likely. Let's keep going, guys. We got a few more.
I don't want to rope Tom into the pseudo-gambling aspect of it.
Well, we would never ask him for advice.
So it works out. More likely road team to play AFC South spoiler, Jets or Cardinals?
Well, the Jets have a third-string quarterback and
I've never heard of this guy. Brady Cook, all due respect.
Jake Brisket, man.
Marvin Harrison again.
That's great. So Michael Wilson's going to set another Larry Fitzgerald
record.
That's good
record. For
Coop and his guillotine. who are the Arizona Cardinals playing this weekend?
They're playing the Houston Texans.
Oh, boy. Good Lord. Oh, my word.
Road spoiler.
I can't say the Jets are going into Jacksonville, which has been a terrific team. With a third-string quarterback and coming up with you got to go with Jake Brisket. Go with Jake Brisket. No risk it, no brisket.
No risk it.
Rich.
It's good.
Thank you.
Brady Cook out of Missouri.
There you go. Thanks for putting the Jets schedule up. It looks so beautiful.
Look at that.
Look at all that red.
That's a lot of red, Rich.
Did you know?
I like my shirt.
Did you know that Jalen Hurts in that one sequence where he gave the ball away twice, the Chargers had more takeaways in that segment.
Than the Jets all season.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that good?
Not good. And by the way, I saw that. I called that takeaway in London, and Troy Franklin just coughing it up with nobody hit him.
How do they have one takeaway all year?
I don't, dude.
What are we doing?
You could almost not even try to get more than one.
I don't know. You know what I am? Many people ask me, what am I proud of whenever I do play-by-play? I'm the voice of the Jets takeaway.
You get an Emmy for
I'm the official voice of the Jets takeaway.
Voice.
Yeah.
All right, three more. Let's finish strong.
So if the Jets want a takeaway, just call me. I'll provide the soundtrack. There it is. Oh.
Hey.
There it is. They took one away. Go figure that.
All right, I'm putting you on the spot, Rich. Is it more likely A.J. Brown goes for 100 yards and the Eagles lose a fourth straight game?
No.
Or the Chargers end Kansas City's season on Sunday?
I think it's the Chargers end Kansas City season on Sunday. Dude, I don't care.
He's gone 3 in a row and they've lost all 3.
Dude, what are we talking about? A Kenny Pickett revenge game? Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, you think
it's
a revenge game.
Kenny Pickett, I'll show you for trading me away after I took the victory formation knee for you. Come on, man.
Think he ain't going to come out there like Gladiator?
Can he pick a revenge game? He's probably thrilled the Eagles were like, because he knows he's not gonna play over Jalen Hurts, despite the number of times Sirianni might be asked that question. Get out of here. Come on, man. They are not losing at home to the Las Vegas Raiders this weekend. And if anybody's left in their survivor pool and they haven't taken the Eagles yet, right?
You don't know that.
Come on,
Rich.
Now.
I would stay so far away from the Eagles and Survivor if you
will. The Chargers winning in Kansas City is more likely than the Eagles losing this game. Okay. With all due respect
to my friend Pete Carroll
and the Vegas Raiders, this is a tough one. This is a tall order.
Go Raiders.
I know that's what you're saying.
Yeah. God, if you listen to
keep going. All right, two more likely to be the bigger number. Micah Parsons sacks or Bo Nix touchdown passes.
What a great game this is, guys.
It's going to be awesome. Micah's got...
But Nix doesn't take sacks. I'll go Bo Nix touchdown passes.
I can see about 2-2 on this.
Yeah.
Micah's been on one last month.
That was a very love connection of you right there.
He's been on one.
Hi, I'm TJ Woolery.
TJ, in terms of this, he says 2-2.
2-2.
We'll be right back. All right. What else you got?
All right, last one. And it's been tough for Justin Jefferson as of late, but I feel like he might heat up against this Cowboys.
Wait a second.
Yeah, man. JJ McCarthy on Sunday Night Football, baby.
Here we go.
I will be home and I will be wearing my purple whatever. My Michigan gear, I will be all in on that one.
Look, I had to hear from Stephen A. at the beginning. Now you're going to continue this?
Yeah, I'm trying to get invited to Jerry Jones's suite. Apparently, that's the way to do it.
I mean, I've been in that suite. It's pretty sweet.
Justin Jefferson hasn't topped 100 yards in a game since Dublin. More likely to be the bigger number, Justin Jefferson receiving yards or longest Brandon Aubrey field goal.
Good one, Christopher.
Favorite football player, Brandon Aubrey.
There's a town in Nevada that might be calling you up for these ones.
So Justin Jefferson just totals in the last like few weeks, right? 47 yards, 37 yards, 61 yards, 48 yards.
Yeah, I have a.
I'm going to go Brandon Aubrey field goal.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's only a matter of time till he's asked to kick a 70-yarder.
Yeah, but it's only a matter of time before my cousin Justin Jefferson goes off.
I agree.
It's probably unfortunately going to happen against my guys.
But the odds are that Aubrey's going to attempt a long field goal right before the end of the first half when they're like, to heck with it.
Want that 70? Right?
Yeah. I think I'll do that. But what a neat one.
That's a fun one.
Keep an eye on.
That's a fun one.
All right, good
Happy
one,
Friday,
Christopher.
Guys, great to see you. Great to be here in New York.
What do you say? I love it, Christopher. I don't know. By the way, you know what else is? I just realized we've never sat so close to each other.
Yeah.
No, I've been getting comments from people as well. Like, hey, they like us at a desk like this. And
I like this desk.
I'm so glad, but I'm too close to you right now.
Why can't you?
Also, you're just staring.
You are staring right at me. This is kind of freaking me out.
I like
your camera. I feel like I'm your.
I think he's making sure you're paying attention.
Yeah, I have to. I'm looking right at him. I can't.
Back home in LA, I like that. I'm far away from you.
Because he's like,
I've got my distance. I'm on my desk, my own little area.
But you still look at me.
No, I'm just saying, this is kind of cool. We can like reach out.
I like this. Like I could say hello to TJ.
You got one more. What's more likely?
Do you?
Who's more likely to be stopped at security by trying to bring a sandwich?
This guy said he's bringing one.
I have one.
You're bringing your own sandwich.
I have my own sandwich. I'm bringing a New York sandwich. It's going to LA.
Well, that's just out of LAX. We don't know how
you're
JFK.
Bringing your own sandwich.
Yeah, I bought
to
a
JFK.
Sandwich that's going.
Why? Why?
Because I want it for tomorrow for lunch.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, not even for this flight.
Tomorrow? No.
Yeah.
Is it from some special place?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah. Across the street from the hotel.
It's called Pathmark. So
I can't.
It's from
Pathmark.
From Walbaum's.
This guy's not eating
what are you
a Pathmark
doing?
Sandwich.
Right? You think I could
A&P?
In Manhattan?
You're gonna
I don't
need
a sandwich.
From
you think I could take a whole pie?
Manhattan people
on
can
a plane.
We get a whole Joe's
like,
pie.
That would be fantastic. Would be you definitely. Great. That there knows no
one. I ask you again before we go to break. Who's more likely to be stopped at the airport for trying to bring in food bag?
I don't want a profile, but it might be the guy to my right immediately.
Uh oh.
Now, here's why he says that. Because this morning, I brought a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant from Dunkin'.
Yeah.
And Dunkin'. I stuck it in my backpack and completely forgot about it.
He had it.
Until about 5 minutes before the show started.
His backpack is going to go through the scanner thing, and they're going to be like, excuse me, sir.
So you bought food and forgot you bought it?
I mean, we got...
Look at you.
Kimberly Martin start talking to us in the back.
Now we throw to break.
Now we got
to throw to break. Now we got to throw to break. The way you talk like that's going to piss off Colleen Wolf. You be careful.
Oh, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Tom Pelissero is coming up.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
I got to step in here because our radio audience has returned. Ladies and gentlemen,
Tommy!
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance is back. Tom Pelissero is here. Good to see you, Tom. How to say a nice hello.
Hey, Tommy! Hey,
our other boys in the studio. Okay. All right. Wow.
The disdain.
Serious subject matter, so let's all bring it in. What is going on with TJ Watt in Pittsburgh, PA? Tom, what happened?
So the timeline, as I understand it, is that TJ Watt came into the facility on Wednesday morning and he had some pain. He went and did his workout. It was a player's day off, but he went in there to lift. He then went through his normal dry needling treatment. And then after the treatment, he was still in pain. They performed a bunch of different tests. At first, they were thinking, based on where the pain was, that maybe it was his collarbone. They ruled that out. They then did x-rays on his ribs. That was came back negative. Then they did some additional tests that revealed a small hole in his lung. J.J. Watt took to Twitter Yikes. With similar but not exactly the same version of the story, saying that it's a partially collapsed lung for J.J., TJ via JJ blaming the Steelers team physicians or the people giving that treatment for the injury. My understanding is that may be a little bit more to that piece of the story, but at any rate, not likely that TJ Watt is going to be able to play on Monday night against the Dolphins. Sounds like this is just something where he just needs to rest based upon the procedure that he had done to repair that hole in his lung, the partially collapsed lung. Could be back as soon as the following week's game, but obviously for a Steelers team that needs every one of these wins to hold off the Ravens in the AFC North, not great to be without one of your best players in all likelihood on Monday night.
I guess the question is the reporting on how this happened, right? I mean, you mentioned JJ's post. I think we have it. And where this goes from here. After a dry needling treatment session at the facility, man, that's scary. That's as scary as it comes, man. I mean, with what's going on. So it's just rest and then maybe back in week 16. What you're saying.
That is what it sounds like at this point. And again, if TJ Watt wants to go down the road of a grievance through the NFLPA or punch any of those buttons, then perhaps there'll be more answers forthcoming about exactly what happened. Again, my understanding is he came in to the facility on Wednesday with pain already. After the dry needling session, that's when he continued to experience the pain. He went into the hospital. He had a battery of tests done. They were able to rule out a bunch of different things, including a rib issue. But he did have a puncture, a small hole in his lung. They fixed that. Now it's just a matter of resting. Probably not a situation where he's going to be ready to play football in 3 days, but potentially as soon as week 16, TJ Watt should be back for a Steelers team that, even though Alex Highsmith is playing at a really high level right now, they certainly could use TJ Watt as well.
All right. Words that I never thought I'd be asking you, Tom, but I'm going to ask you. Is Philip Rivers playing for the Colts this Sunday?
The final decision, Rich, from what I understand, is not going to come until at least Saturday on Philip Rivers, which makes sense. He's 44. I'm 44. I'm not attempting to play in the NFL, but any time that I undertake any physical activity that I have not done in a while, when I go out to briefly shovel a little bit of my driveway that might not have been cleared off well enough, if I lift any boxes, if I get out of bed a certain way, I wait until the next day to see, am I going to be feeling this for a while here? Did I injure anything? They're trying to be as deliberate as they can with Philip Rivers. Right away, the first practice on Wednesday, he was splitting the first team reps with Riley Leonard, who's dealing with a low-grade PCL sprain. Doesn't sound like that's going to be a big issue for him. Full participant in practice the past couple of days. I would not rule out the possibility, Rich, that we see both quarterbacks play on Sunday in Seattle. It would make some sense. You know, Philip has already said, and certainly people can be their own judge of what Philip weighs at this point, what type of shape he's in. Seems like perhaps after 5 years away, like most people, he may not be quite as svelte as he used to be. Although, as he said himself, it's not like I was ever getting away from anybody. Maybe short yardage, goal line, are there packages for Riley Leonard? Do they want to put, if Philip Rivers indeed starts, 70 snaps on him or kind of ease him into the mix? Does it even make sense to put him out there after just a few practices or hold him back for another week? Those are the final decisions that need to be made on Saturday. I would say at this point it would be a surprise if Philip Rivers does not play on Sunday against the Seahawks. And for the Colts, you know, the sense that I got talking to people last night is whatever it looks like on the field, we know this. In his workout on Monday, I was told his arm looked exactly the same. If anything, he might even have a little more velocity on it than he had back in 2020 because he hasn't had that just, you know, all the reps on his arm through the years. But body-wise, all those things, how does he rebound? How does his arm rebound? Those are all open questions because there's really not a whole lot of precedent for this. Even if they go to Seattle with Philip or without him and lose that game, you're still in a position where you got the next couple games at home. If you're able to win those, you got 10 wins going into Houston in week 18. That's not to say this game doesn't matter. If somehow you can steal one from the Seahawks, that would obviously, you know, put you ahead of the game. But the 49ers and the Jaguars at home, those are two really, really big games here. So, you know, kind of the tightrope that they got to walk here. Does it make sense to expose Philip in the Seattle game, just get him out there, get his feet wet, let him see game speed, or do you hold him back another week? Again, I would be surprised if we don't see Philip Rivers on Sunday, but final decision is not coming until at least tomorrow.
All right, 40-something Tom Pelissero giving us information and perspective at Tom Pelissero for those who might know of a good chiropractor in the Minneapolis area for Tom right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Knowing what you know and what you're willing to share, how'd you take Joe Burrow's comments that started with, if I want to keep doing this, talking about having fun and not having fun, talking about how there's a lot weighing on him, personal, professional, what can you say about what you heard from Joe Burrow and what it means, Tom?
Joe Burrow has rarely, if ever, had a normal season, Rich. I think start there. And any time that a player is repeatedly dealing with injuries, it's going to weigh on them, you know, in a lot of different ways. I sat there with Joe Burrow the second week of training camp this year and talked with him, and I, you know, half jokingly said to him, you know, hey, you know, I was supposed to be here the last two of the last 3 years to interview you. Once you had a wrist injury and the other one, you had a, your appendix out. He's like, oh, it's you. I'm like, no, the fact that I'm here interviewing you now proves I'm not the jinx, but it's become part of, you know, the Joe Burrow experience, which is there's just all these bad luck things that he seems to be dealing with, you know, tearing his ACL in his first year, you know, dealing with the, you know, the wrist injury that he had, dealing with the appendix. I believe there was a calf or some other injury that he dealt with as well. There's a lot of different things. And then this year to come out, you know, not play, they didn't play great as an offense. It wasn't on Joe. They didn't play great as an offense in week one. Then week two, you suffer a severe turf toe injury. You work your butt off for 2.5 months to beat the timeline and get back. And then in your second game out, it's the defense that lets you down and can't get a stop. Now he throws two, you know, back-to-back picks. One's a pick six in that game, but overall Burrow played at a really high level. And the Bengals, as so often has been the case, they just can't stop anybody. Joe Burrow, you know, got his contract a couple of years ago. He made his push last spring, you know, last January, February, that, hey, we need Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson. We need all those guys back. And they did it. They gave him all those players. The guy who's not been available has been Joe Burrow. And that's not to blame Joe for, you know, having the injuries that he's had. It's just the reality that, you know, your best, your highest paid player, your most important player hasn't been out on the field. I think it's natural, you know, for that to weigh on a guy. Obviously, there's other factors here, like the fact that the defense has been an ongoing issue that leads to some of that frustration. But I looked at that much more about the internal piece of this for Joe Burrow. I mean, if every single year, Rich, you had an injury that took you out for 5 months of the show, you know, by year seven, you'd kind of be like, God, am I going to keep doing this? Like, is this worth it? I'm not enjoying this a whole lot anymore. That's where it seems like Joe Burrow is right now. He still believes he's one of the best in his profession. I agree with him, but you'd like to think that he'd be on the field more than he has been. And it's pretty apparent that mentally, physically, emotionally, that has taken a toll on him.
Okay. So if I pick up what you're putting down, if we gave you a multiple choice of who was he referring to, or what was he referring to about if I want to keep doing this, is he referring to the injury gods? Is he referring to the front office? Is he referring to his coaching staff? You would choose injury gods? Bengals, writ large. You know what I mean? Those are your four choices. So who is he referring to about if I want to keep doing this anymore? Because that sure sounds like something that might have been going through Andrew Luck's temples, you know?
Well, that's the example was, you know, Andrew Luck walking away when he did, which was, you know, a stunning thing in the middle of the preseason in August. But that was years of, you know, the hits adding up. And Andrew Luck played the game differently than Joe Burrow. Andrew Luck played like a linebacker. He wanted that first contact. He wanted to get hit and run people over. Joe, it's not as if he's, you know, exposing himself. Like they have been, you know, kind of freaky types of things. You know, you get tackled from behind and your foot bends a certain way. You tear the ligaments in your toe and it ends up being, you know, a 2-3 month type of an injury. So it's one of those deals where
I hear you, but I'm the host of a sports talk radio simulcast on Disney Plus, ESPN app, and ESPN Radio. When I give you a multiple choice question, you must answer it. You know what I mean? Like
I believe it is injury gods as much as anything. Let's entertain the other options here. If we are talking, as you put it, coaches or Bengals writ large. The idea that Joe Burrow would, for instance, request a trade and that the Bengals would actually grant that request and trade one of the top five players in the league when he's healthy would be, I would categorize it as far-fetched for a variety of different reasons. Chief among them, the Bengals don't make trades. It is very, very rare. They've done it more in recent years. They traded Logan Wilson this year. They traded for running back Khalil Herbert last year. But they've made like three trades since the 1970s. For Joe Burrow, they weren't willing to trade Trey Hendrickson. Their philosophy, Mike Brown's philosophy, has long been, these are my players and you can't have them. The idea that Joe Burrow, they're just going to go, well, Joe's, you know, he's frustrated. We're just going to trade him away. There are so many steps that would have to go into that. You know, are there different levers that if he is feeling that way, that he and his agent could pull? Certainly. I mean, we've seen wild things happen across the NFL, but it's not as if, oh, well, now that he said that, every team's going to call and the Bengals are going to ship him off in February. That is way way many steps down the line before we'd even get to having a realistic discussion about that. What I took away, and I appreciate Joe's honesty when he gets rolling, you know, when he gets talking, he will say honest stuff. And in the sense that I got was there are a variety of reasons that he's frustrated right now. But, you know, how enjoyable would it be if every year, you know, a job that you love and you can't do it 2/3 of the time, that's going to wear anybody out.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, before I let you go, Tom, my frequent question of you is the team that your sources, people who reach out to you, like to kibitz, like to talk, the team that or situation that everybody has been curious about and tongues are wagging about behind the scenes in the National Football League entering the final 4 weeks. What is it?
Oh, besides the Colts and dragging a 44-year-old grandfather out of retirement, which I've gotten plenty of people asking for the details on that, I would say that, you know, with really 4 weeks to go, we just kicked off week 15 last night, you're starting to get into just some of the speculation about in terms of, you know, what places could be in for a shakeup on some level. You look at the bottom of the standings, we've obviously already had the Titans fire their head coach. We've had the Giants fire their head coach. The Dolphins made a GM change, and we'll see what direction their search ends up going. You know, you don't have to, you know, be super embedded in this thing to come up with some of the other teams that we're looking at. Last night, the Falcons get a big win, and Raheem Morris was fired up about it. You know, what is their plan moving into the future? By any stretch, this has been a disappointing season. You have seen James Pierce Jr. come on. You did see Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts, for that matter, looking like the Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts you were hoping you were going to get back at the start of 2024 last night. But I would certainly anticipate that there's going to be a top-down review of everything that's going on in that Falcons building as this season winds down. The Raiders are another one. They fired their offensive coordinator. They fired their special teams coordinator. The next question is, who else, if anyone, is left to fire? There's certainly going to be questions about Pete Carroll. We'll see how they play down the stretch. Doesn't sound like Geno Smith is going to play this week, so you'll have a backup quarterback in Kenny Pickett, who, you know, made some things happen. He looked okay in limited action last week. But there's a lot of decisions that need to be made in Las Vegas. Quite frankly, you know, some of those decisions do point back to Tom Brady, who arrived with great fanfare as a minority owner. Mark Davis saying that, you know, he can help us set the entire program. He can help us identify and draft and develop the quarterback. You look at the results so far, they took a big swing on Ben Johnson. They took some type of a swing on Matthew Stafford. Didn't get either one. They ended up with Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. To this point, that has not led to a bunch of wins. They drafted two quarterbacks in the sixth round, and neither one of them made the active roster coming out of training camp. So where are you right now as the Raiders? There is a lot that needs to be done on the roster. Nobody's sitting there saying that Pete Carroll has been playing with a full deck this year. But when you hire Pete, who's won a Super Bowl and has won consistently throughout his career, you hire Chip Kelly as the highest paid offensive coordinator in the league, making more money than like two or three players on your entire offense, you expect the results to be a lot better than what they are now, sitting there on a couple of wins. And there's other places like Arizona. You know, they've got young coaches. My understanding is Michael Bidwell has been really supportive of those guys to this point, but you lose, I think it's now 9 of 10 or 10 out of 11 games. There's certainly going to be an examination of what's gone wrong. Even Washington, for that matter, falling from, you know, the NFC Championship game to being eliminated from postseason contention with a month to go. That's the big questions within the league right now, whether I'm talking to other teams, whether I'm talking to potential candidates. Everybody's trying to figure out exactly how far those dominoes are going to fall. And the honest truth is, Rich, in a lot of these cases, even though we should not be subject to recency bias, even though a game or two should not swing massive organizational multi-million dollar decisions, the way that you play down the stretch, the way that, for instance, players are responding to Mike McDaniel right now, the way that it seems like the Falcons somehow in a short week showed up with more energy than Todd Bowles' Bucks, to the point that Todd went to the podium and dropped 10 F-bombs in about a 10-second span there. All these things do play into the thinking, and it's the absolute truth that a lot of the decisions we're going to see play out over the next month have not actually been finalized at this point.
And then the minute I have left, you didn't mention the Browns out of all the teams. What do you think?
The Browns situation is, in my mind, speaking just for myself, it's far more complicated because of their organizational structure. Paul DePodesta, who had been there or had been a member of the organization. He was living in San Diego, but had been on every Zoom for a decade and was overseeing the entire organization, had played a big role in building out data and analytics departments. He just left for the Colorado Rockies. So you now have this void atop this sprawling operation that he built there on a team that, quite frankly, has not had a consistent level of success at any time in that past decade. So is that a simple matter of Jimmy Haslam fills that job and continues to move forward the same way? Does it have to do with potentially reorganizing some things, whether it's on the coaching side or the front office side? And then what do you do with the quarterback position? You got two first-round picks in 2026. Shedeur Sanders, last week, that's the best that he's played. He's shown growth. They want to see him continue to show growth over the back half of the season. You still have Deshaun Watson, who is going to be a member of your team for salary cap reasons as much as anything, though you can make a fair argument that Deshaun at his best is still the best quarterback on the Browns roster. Dylan Gabriel is still there. And then you got those picks to go get someone. That's what I mean when I say this is not checkers here. This is chess when it comes to the Browns. You've got to think about the really, really big picture. And that's what Jimmy Haslam and the people that he trusts within that organization, that's what they're going to be working through here. I don't think that it's as linear as, well, maybe you swap out the two-time NFL head coach of the year and Kevin Stefanski, bring in a new coach and move forward the same way. There's a lot of other discussions that have to go into exactly what that entire Browns organization looks like in 2026 and beyond.
Well, speaking of playing games, my heart out on the radio is not playing them. So thanks for the time, Tom. I got to say goodbye. You're the man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Phyllis.
Tommy P, everybody. Hi. There he goes. We're back from New York City in a moment.
This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by McAfee.
Yes! Playoff tickets!
Just need to click here and... Wait, what? Fake site? Good thing McAfee threw the red flag. That would have been $400 gone.
McAfee blocks risky sites so you don't pay for seats and other things that don't exist. Plans start at just $39.99 for your first year. That's cheaper than parking on game day. Learn more at McAfee.com/online protection.
Abercrombie Kids is bringing the cheer all holiday season and the gifts too. No matter how long their wish list is, there's always room for just one more. Whether it's a new winter coat, an extra pair of jeans, or cozy matching sweat sets, get gifting with looks they've been waiting for all year. Shop Abercrombie Kids in the app, online, and in stores.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, supporting you every step of the way. Progressive.com. All right, in a few minutes we have left here on hour number two. In a few minutes we have left here in hour two, I'm going to say something that will be like kindling to the fire of analytics folks.
Uh-oh.
Never really want to go with the analytics folks.
Yeah, baseball guys.
Because
love
you know what they have?
Coaches.
Numbers.
Yeah.
They have numbers.
They love it.
They have certainties and odds and all that sort of stuff. You don't go with people with numbers.
Nope.
You just don't do it.
Nope.
You shouldn't do it. I'm about to do it.
Yeah, let's go.
As you should.
Because I've got a gut, figuratively.
That's better than the numbers, man.
Yeah, less of a gut at age 56. You know what I mean? Listen, I don't understand this going for two when you don't have to. I don't understand the reasoning either, the way it's been explained to me over and over and over again, is you never want to go for two at the end of the game when you have to, because there's no time left for you to recover from the mistake. Yep. So you go for two as early as possible, so you will know how many possessions you need to have. So you're not caught with no time left at the end of the game. You got one shot at it, and that's it. You want a second bite at the apple because you'll know how many possessions you need. Unless you just kick the field goal and go into extra points and go into overtime. But you don't want to go in overtime. You want to try and go for two at the end of the game. You're trying to win it.
Yeah.
Why don't you do that early so you know you're going to have to get that? Because my answer is because you're then chasing points. You're now putting yourself in a position of, why would you want to know how many possessions you have left by going for two when you don't have to, when it puts you in a position of needing more possessions than you might actually have to need? You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I do.
Because the Falcons needed one more possession to get that field goal to win it that they might not have gotten back had the Buccaneers not thrown an interception to give them one, or the Buccaneers had made that third down in the way that the Falcons made the fourth down in the game-winning drive that they were lucky to kind of get. And I don't understand it. Kick the extra points, and if you've got that two-point play that you think is so unbeatable, then pop it out of the bag at the end of the game. And you're not taking away momentum from your team. Because, again, that's the gut feel. You push back about, well, I mean, it's deflating to your team to go for two so soon, knowing you now need extra possessions. Some teams are going for two to see if how many possessions they need the rest of the game with, like, 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter when you kind of know there's not many possessions left. Exactly. You can kind of guess how many possessions you have left based on how much time's left. Now you're needing another one if you don't get the two-point conversion when you're going for it, just to find out how many possessions you have left. And I understand this makes no sense to an analytics person.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.